Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Blow It Out on Main Studio, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, show number 43, recorded January 4th, 2021. Thanks to partners Pin Oak Agency, Next Level Fitness, Blow It Out on Main, and Handsome Harry's, and the O-Bar Cafe. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip alongside
Greg Shawshack.
Thanks for coming tonight, Shaq.
Awesome.
Appreciate you being here.
When I got a text to get out of the house on a Monday night, it's with my wife and my daughters throwing a bachelor party.
Really?
It's Bachelor, the Bachelor.
Oh, That kind of bachelor
season party. Premiere day, big night at the Shawshack house, so I was happy to get out.
Now, in a normal year, in a non-COVID year, would you be out working tonight covering a basketball game or
girls
a wrestling?
Basketball on Monday night, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're lucky to have you here tonight. And we've got a lot of variety in this show tonight, as we've talked about.
Golf, dance, and bodybuilding.
Golf, esports.
Okay.
And bodybuilding. We've got the area's number one 1A golfer. We've got one of the world's top bodybuilders, a Metro East guy, Paul Nicolussi, is guest number three. And guest number two is number one in the world at Dance Dance Revolution. Chad Carey is his name. So we've got we're starting off with a golfer here, Avery Irwin, here in a second. But first, reminder, ladies, go to Blow It Out on Main. It's Edwardsville's first blowout bar and hairstyling salon to help you achieve the most perfect look for any occasion, big or small. Their staff is dedicated to serving you, offering a variety of trendy styles that'll make you look and feel fabulous. Blow It Out on Main also specializes in providing custom party packages, everything from girls' night out to the day you tie the knot. They've got you covered. To book a blowout or to find out more about party packages, simply call 307-9999. Or stop by. Guys, call Hannah Brown at Handsome Harry's, 618-581-3561. I'm going there tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And Avery Irwin, our first guest, just got himself a T-shirt from Handsome Harry's. You're going to look great in that.
I will.
Belleville Althoff, number one golfer for the last 3 years, Mespy winner, 1A golfer of the year. Welcome to the show, Avery Irwin.
Thank you for having me again. A little mishap the first time.
Yeah, we had a little technical issue after his first interview. And before we get to you, three things you can do to help the show. Number one, subscribe to the podcast. You're listening to it. Go ahead and subscribe. Number two, follow us on our social media. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're easy to find. And number three, if you have a story idea, email me at mespdave@gmail.com. Welcome back, Avery.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Two-time Mespy winner. You won the Mespy last year, and then you won it again this year. Back-to-back Mespy winner. Number one on the team, like I said, for the last 3 years, which is quite an accomplishment. Last year, you had six tournament wins. So congrats on an unbelievable career at Althoff.
Thank you. Yeah. It sucks being over, but, you know, I'm happy to get started in college.
And this year, your team finished second at regionals, and you didn't have the regional that you wanted, but then you bounced back and had a tremendous, tremendous sectional, finished tied for fifth, yeah. I believe. But then your best tournament of the fall was the high school golf championships that Mike Surrey put together that was played at Spencer T.
And Sunset Hills.
And yeah. Sunset Hills, yeah. Where you finished second. Mm-hmm. And that was a big time finish for you.
Yeah, I lost by one after I hit it to about a foot on the last hole to tap in for birdie, and then the kid was a little bit shorter and needed about 100 yards out of the bunker, and he stuck it to 10 foot and then made the putt to beat me by one. So I said it was kind of fitting to end my high school career like that, because junior year we lost by one at state. So won my junior year and lost by one again my senior year.
Avery, it's cool that, you know, Mike was able to put that on, but how hard was it not having a state tournament to shoot for in the postseason this year?
Yeah, it was tough, and it made it a lot worse that we lost by one last year, my junior year, and I feel like if we would have won it last year, I wouldn't have cared as much, because that was always a goal of mine. I wouldn't have been as mad about it, but just the fact that we were able to have regionals and sectionals and then not have state, it just didn't, you know, make sense to me, so it was frustrating.
Was second place a little harder since it was to Mater Dei?
Yeah, definitely. And we you know, it was a friendly rivalry because we had been playing against them all year, and I know a couple kids on the team. So, I mean, I'm glad it went to them other than someone else. But, yeah, it definitely stung.
It's pretty amazing that 1 and 2 were both from the Metro East. I mean, how often does that happen? You've been covering sports for a long time, Shaq.
Well, a factor in that was they dropped down from 2A to 1A.
Yeah.
They changed the enrollment thing. So both Mater Dei and Altoff were in 1A for the first year. Avery's first 2 years, they played 2A.
Oh.
Which is a little tougher, but still, that's not to diminish the accomplishment. But and Avery, did you welcome that drop to 1A, or would you rather play against the bigger schools? Or
we made it to state my freshman and sophomore year, but we didn't play well. And obviously, I mean, the teams were a little bit better, so it was tough. And it was nice to, you know, be going against schools that were actually our size. We're 300 kids, and we were going against like Quincy, Notre Dame, and you know, a lot of bigger schools. So.
You were last both years, 12th out of 12.
Yeah.
Not to bring that up.
Yeah, but I didn't want
to
mention
So how cool was it to be in the state championship hunt that next year?
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome because we knew going in, we had seen a couple of the teams, and we knew we were like, okay, well, now that we dropped down, we've seen these teams, we know we can compete with them. So we knew we legitimately had a chance. So, yeah, it was awesome.
And your mom was the inspiration for Surrey to add that tournament. Did you hear the story?
I did not.
Tell it.
So we were playing a match against Edwardsville at Stonewolf, and we had just got the news that state had been canceled, and we had actually just lost to Edwardsville, so we were already all mad, and then we found out that, and I left. I couldn't handle it, and my mom started crying, and Mike Surrey was there and saw her, and I guess he just had the inspiration from her and that she was so mad about it and that he decided to do that. So once we were there at the tournament, he told us that, you know, it was because of her that he did that. So it was
that's
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
One of the elite girls in the area, Riley Lewis from Edwardsville, she opted out when they decided no state just to play PGA tournaments. Did that enter your mind, your thinking at all?
Yeah, but I got offered and committed in September and season started in August. So, I mean, it was a thought, but I wanted to win state so bad, and I thought there was still a chance that we would have it. So it crossed my mind. If I would have been a junior or something, still looking for a scholarship and needing to play those bigger tournaments, then I might have. But already having the scholarship, then not really.
And, of course, you're committed next year to Tennessee Tech.
Yes, I'm excited. Going to be going there in about August.
You'll be excited until you make that drive a few times. It's not fun.
Yeah. Well, and my parents are moving down to Florida when I graduate, so they'll be like 10 hours away from me now.
Now, you've come from an athletic family. I know we just mentioned your mom. Mom was a tennis player, a college tennis player, and I grew up playing tennis with mom at Oak Hill and Belleville. But you're a golf family. Your older sister has played?
Yeah. My oldest sister she played at Indiana State 2 years ago, and then my middle sister is playing at Ave Maria right now in Florida near our place in Fort Myers. So, yeah, we've lived on a golf course my whole life. We lived at the Orchards. We just moved. But just had a club in my hand since I was 3 or 4, playing every sport. And then when it got to freshman year, I kind of narrowed it down to just golf and decided that's what I wanted to do.
Talk about playing for Dan Politis.
Great guy. I've known him since I was about 4 or 5. I have a funny story. It was the Altoff camp that they do with younger kids, and my sisters were there for the camp. I was just there with my mom visiting and then going home, and I was hitting balls with Dan just for a minute before I left, and my mom wanted me to go, and I started crying and didn't want to leave just because I was having fun and hitting balls. So then Dan said, well, you can stay. So I think I stayed the few days that it was, and then I ended up winning the camper of the week. So Dan always tells that story about when I was 4 or 5 and, you know, already had a club in my hand and didn't want to leave the range. So I've known him since then, and he was always making sure I was going to Altoff after that, and then I did. And, yeah, it was a great experience playing for him and, you know, having those 4-3 state appearances.
How did he help your game?
He definitely helped me a lot with the mental side. I definitely had some mental challenges, and I would always get down on myself. So he was always there to help me if I started playing bad and was able to lift me back up.
How important or how much do you look forward to the tournaments where you're playing against some of the best players in the area? I know you guys are 1A and played in the South 7, but to play against the O'Fallons and the Edwardsvilles and those kids, did you look forward to those tournaments?
Yeah, definitely. And we're all close. You know, we play against the same teams a lot of the time. So I know all the kids from O'Fallon and Edwardsville. So it's a lot of fun to play against them and know it's going to be a good battle and that, you know, I have a chance to win and our team has a chance to beat a good team like O'Fallon or Edwardsville.
You guys get out of the regional, you know, you went 1-2 with Mater Dei again. how disappointing and surprising that you guys shoot 327. I'm guessing that's high for you guys in the sectional. And if there was a state, you guys wouldn't have got there as a team.
Yeah, it sucked. But right after it happened, we were like, all right, you know, we just got to move on. It's not like it would have mattered anyway if we got top two. So it kind of stung less knowing that we wouldn't have made it anyway. But yeah, it was definitely disappointing not finishing it off great.
Your home course for Althoff is?
Stonewolf.
What are your favorite courses to play in the Metro East? Because I feel like right now in the Metro East, there are a lot of really great golf courses.
I definitely enjoy Sunset Hills. That was fun to play in that tournament, and it was tough.
Do you play there often?
No, never. I know I played there a few times when I was a lot younger, but that was probably the first time in like 5 years or something. And I enjoy Stonewolf. It's a tough course, and you have to be able to put the ball in the right spot. You know, you don't have to hit driver much. You just have to be able to put it out there in the right spot. So I like that part about it.
When you say right spot, you don't mean in the water, do you?
No. Usually out in the
Because that's where I hit it.
Yeah.
That's where I wind up.
I do too. Yeah.
What are you going to have to improve to get to number one at Tennessee Tech?
I don't know if it's just one thing. I mean, I think it's just everything needs to get a little bit better. So, you know, I think my putting could definitely use the most work, but everything I'd say needs to get better.
What took you to Tennessee Tech? What drew you there, Avery?
Definitely the coaches. I started talking to them through my sister. She played with the assistant coach, so I had a good connection there, and then we were friends with her and started talking, and I got to know the head coach, Coach Polk. So I just really loved talking to them and what they wanted to do with the program. And it's about an hour from Nashville, so that was really cool. It's only about 5 hours from home, which I liked. So it's in a nice conference, Ohio Valley.
We got a volleyball player at Tennessee Tech, Maddie Isringhausen from Edwardsville.
Yeah.
Jason Isringhausen's daughter is a freshman there.
Sports and Lit. Had her in class last year, of course, just like everybody else. All right, Jim Comer would be upset if you get out of here without me asking you. What's in your bag? Start with the driver.
All right. I have a M5 TaylorMade and then 3-wood M6 TaylorMade. Hybrid M6 TaylorMade, and then my irons are TaylorMade P760s, and then I have SM7 Vokey wedges, and then I have a Scotty Cameron Newport putter.
Pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
Dave, do you know like all the clubs in your bag?
Nope.
It doesn't matter. You know, it just matters how you hit them.
Yep. I don't hit them well. Last time I played really well, though. I wanted to quit golf. And I was this close to it. And then Dean Chicken Dance got me out there. I played so well that I think I might turn pro.
Yeah, you might as well. Hey, I mean, you can always just turn pro. There's no point not turning pro. Doesn't mean you have to go play against them.
I don't think golf is in my future. But how about you, Shaq? Are you a golfer?
No, I don't have a golf bag to have any clubs in it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. Then you can refuse every scramble, everything.
I play in some scrambles, but it's borrowed clubs. And if they use my shot once, I consider it a victory.
Mm. Any plans on what you want to study at Tennessee Tech? I think last time you were here, you talked about your major.
Yeah, I'm thinking finance. I'm not exactly sure. I know I want to do business, but probably finance.
I got Tennessee Tech trivia for you.
All right.
Do it.
OVC, there's 12 schools.
Yeah.
What is the only school not to play men's golf?
Hmm. Men's golf?
Yes.
Hmm. Murray State.
Wrong.
Jacksonville State.
That's wrong. Southeast Missouri.
Dang. Didn't know that.
That's a bummer. Well, I hope your sport is unaffected and your team remains unaffected by COVID. I feel like golf and tennis and cross country and gymnastics, a lot of guys' sports are getting the axe, but I hope your sport is safe, and I wish you the best, Tennessee Tech. I want to have you back here next year after your freshman year. I want to hear about all the great times you had on the golf course there in college.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be a lot of fun.
All right, Avery Irwin, thanks so much for stopping by. Congrats on the MESPY.
Thank you.
We are proud to continue to partner with Pin Oak Agency, located in Maryville. Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management will work with you to find just the right insurance for your car, home, health, business, or farm. A lifelong resident of the Metro East, Andy Calloway is here to help your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375 to set up your appointment. Andy and his staff will listen to you and help you reach your goals. Or find them on Facebook at Pin Oak Agency. Tell them we sent you And he's also refinancing houses. He's saving me money. Give Andy a call. He will save you money too. All right. Welcome to the show. We've had golfers, football players, baseball players, coaches. We've had trainers. We've had tennis players. But you, Chad Carey, are our first esport athlete. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And you are number one in the world at Dance Dance Revolution, a certain type of ranking.
Well, yeah, okay. So it's a little specific on it. It's an older version of the game called DDR Extreme, and DDR is just, you know, short for Dance Dance Revolution.
Right.
And that game released in 2002. So the version of it is kind of, it's like, you know, saying, oh, I play Mario, but you play the original Super Mario Bros.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like that in that kind of way.
So you're a purist.
Kind of.
You're like using wooden bats.
There are definitely some people who are very specific as far as being like, I like this version and the new ones feel different. And it's kind of like that to some degree. So I have the most world records on that game for individual song scores on the expert and challenge levels. And that's very specific because there are other records you can get on the game. And it's also different than saying I'm number one in the world because there are a few players who would just take me in tournaments still.
Okay. But you have the most records. The most world records.
Yes. There are 240 songs in the game. And out of the 240 songs, 16 of them have an expert and a challenge chart. So we basically say there's 256 songs. Some of them you have to do two different versions of, basically. It's like playing like hard and then an expert, kind of. So those are like what people would consider the tough, real songs of the game. And out of the 256, I have 94 of them right now.
Wow.
And that's 94, including tied records. So there are several, like I think hovering in the 20s, low 20s or so, that are tied with other people. But, you know, we just share it at that point. That's all you can really do. There's no cut dry way to go, you did it better. It's, you have the exact same amount of points on a song. So yeah.
I would imagine the worldwide community for this sport, like, you all know each other.
Oh yeah. It's very, very close knit community. And it's not very big either. So when something happens and people see it, it's just all the people who are really dedicated.
All right. So let's make sure people know what this is. This is the arcade game. Mm-hmm. Where you stand on the floor and the lights come up and you're looking at a screen and a monitor and you have to touch one of the four directions with your feet.
Or two. There are jumps.
Okay.
So yeah, sometimes you do have to hit both. But yeah, any of the four. And it's really as simple as that in theory. It's literally just hit your feet at the right time when it tells you to. But all of a sudden you make it really complex and it's like, how the heck am I supposed to do that?
I'm going to post a video of you doing what you did. And I think people are going to be amazed at how fast your feet are moving while you do this.
Were you good at this right away?
Not exactly. I started back, I think it was probably around like 2003 or so. And at first it wasn't simple, but it really just grinds rhythm into you like hard. Like you have to know how to count one and two, three and four, and get that going. Eventually I got there, and for my age at the time, there were a lot of people who were older than me playing, and they just kind of let me do it and let me do my thing.
So how old were you when you started then?
Roughly like 10, yeah. So I was a kid, but I wasn't like...
How old are you now?
I'm 27.
So you've been playing this for 17 years?
Yes.
You talk about the community. Is there trash talking going on?
So there used to be. It used to be a lot more hardcore of I'm the best and blah, blah, blah. And now it's just a bunch of people who know, hey, we're just a bunch of nerds, you know, just doing what we love.
Do they just go by a score you post, or do you have competitions where the whole field is there at the same time at one site?
There are tournaments. There hasn't been any major tournaments due to the pandemic.
Right.
But there are tournaments still for this game. I've only got to enter one. So far, actually, and that was in 2019, and this was before I had practiced the game really hard, so I did not do very well whatsoever, but it really made me appreciate how tough the game is to be good at, despite it being a very old version of the game.
Was that around here that you went?
No, that was in Florida. I flew out there. A lot of people did for that tournament. Really? Yeah, they have a fighting game tournament series called CEO, and some of the people who organize that event are old school Dance Dance Revolution players, and they're like, hey, we can bring some machines in and bring those guys too. So they just kind of run it like there's a bunch of like Tekken players and all the old school fighting games, and then us just on the other side of the convention floor, you know, just dancing and sweating all day. And
so you've been doing this 17 years. Are you like an old man now at this? Is it mostly younger guys? Or
No, there's definitely some who are, you know, in their like 30s who were old school players starting in 98 when they were 20 or something, you know, like, so there are some people who are, I'm not like on the older end, but you know, in the middle somewhere.
Anybody as old as Lipe?
There probably is somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised.
Come on.
I'm just saying, like, in Japan, it's just like a cultural thing in some ways too, just to go out to the arcades and just have fun. It's kind of different than the U.S. that, it, you know, in the U.S. you think an arcade, it's like, oh, you take your kids there to win tickets and stuff. But in Japan, it's like people after business will go in their business suits to play a drum game or a dance game or whatever. So there are people who are, you know, older who do play this game.
It was originated in Japan, right?
Yes,
I think I
absolutely
read that.
Yeah,
I
in
read
fact,
that online.
The machine that I have is actually a what they call a J-cab, a Japanese cabinet, because they didn't make English versions of the game. So it was, I guess, straight imported from Japan as far as I know, or at least because they didn't make it here. So it must have been.
Now, I watched you on video and the movements. Have you ever hurt yourself? I'd pull something immediately if I tried to do
that. No. I mean, not like to the point of an injury by doing that. More of maybe just exhaustion and muscle strain, if anything. But not to where, like, I do a move and I'm like, that I physically hurt me. Like, it looks intense, but it's really kind of low-level stress on your body overall, besides, like, the cardio part of it, which is... That's the tough part, is... Unlike other video games, you can't pause. Like if you're doing something, you're like, man, I'm tired. Too bad.
How long does a game, one session go then?
Well, one song will last for, in this version of the game, about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And then you could wait as long as you want. But for me, I'll practice anywhere 2 to 4 hours plus in a day if I want to. Just depends really what I'm trying to work on. Sometimes if I'm actually like, oh, I think I can get this score down. I want to get a better count of just what the score is overall, I might sit there and play it for an hour, see how it goes, and then assess it, and then keep trying. Just kind of depends on each situation, I guess.
Any idea what your heart rate is during this? Do you ever wear like an Apple Watch?
I haven't, but there's times where it's definitely maxing out, you know, like mid hundreds, you know, high hundreds, what it may be. It's the toughest cardio you could ask for. I mean, literally, like, just, hey, move your feet and we'll give you a score. That's the best way to, you know, get exercise, in my opinion.
They're giving scholarships now in esports. I mean, are you a man ahead of your time? Do you ever think about that?
Okay. Yeah, I guess maybe. Maybe it's like if I was a bit older when I was younger. Well, I guess that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But like, yeah, if I was a little bit older at the time, I could have competed a little more. The game had a lot more popularity in the early 2000s because there was home versions you could buy, you know, for PlayStation and stuff, and it seemed like every kid wanted one back then.
What do you say to the people that say, this is, you know, this is fun and everything, but this is not a sport?
To them, I say try it. Yeah. Just go play a song, go to the arcade when it's safe. Pick like the newest version of the game. You can play Happy by Pharrell Williams. Mm-hmm. Go pick that on beginner or basic and try to hit all Marvelouses. And once you get a great, just look at how many steps it was and see, like, oh, I got a great. Because a great is worth 1 point, a perfect is worth 2, and a Marvelous is worth 3. So if you hit the step, you still need to be on time. If you're off time, it's going to say, nope, you only get 1 point for that, not 3. So every step you have to be on time constantly. It's just a struggle, or not a struggle, you know, just pulling between mental and physical constantly. So that might say, like, just try it yourself and see how tough it actually is.
Do they have a you suck score?
What do you mean by that?
Well, it'd be 0, I assume. Whatever I would get if I tried it, I know.
You would get an E. Is that is the the failing score, I suppose.
For effort?
Yeah, I guess E for effort. The crowd, unfortunately, does boo at you if you do bad, which is like, that's not fun. I don't know why you put that in an arcade game. That's the like last thing you'd want to hear.
When you compete, you're competing on your machine at your house.
Right.
So all your scores are at your house.
All my scores. Yeah, exactly. All my scores. I'm playing on a machine that I bought from a friend whose dad owned a mini golf place, and they just had a little arcade, and he had that machine and they needed to sell it. So I've got that at my house, and I just work on songs and play on my own time. So it's not like I'm going head to head for getting a record, but there are other people who own these machines who could, you know, in theory, be doing the exact same thing. And there are, they do, some of them, you know, work on some scores occasionally.
Who has the game locally? If somebody wanted to go try this, do you ever go out and play the game locally?
I used to. Okay, so that's, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a barcade in St. Louis that's called Up Down, if you've ever heard of it. And they have a lot of retro games, like really like 80s pinball and that kind of stuff. But they do have a Dance Dance Revolution machine of this version, which is, again, 2002 for that. So it's kind of newer. And I'd found out about it, let's see, I guess I have to think back past the pandemic now. It was August of 2019. And I'd played there for about 3-4 months and worked on some scores. My scores were like kind of average but good, and I was improving on it. At the time then, that's when I was buying the machine, but I didn't actually get it set up in my house. Once the pandemic hit, then it was like, okay, I have to get this out of my garage, got to get it in the basement. And then I just took off and kept playing pretty much every day.
How much is it you do this for fun, and how competitive, you know, how much you want to compete?
50-50. I mean, the competition's great, but at the end of the day, it really is just all for fun. Because if I didn't like doing this, I wouldn't do it. It isn't an easy thing to do, but I love doing it. You know, it's just getting to hang out with people who have similar interests. And when it comes down to it, it's just like, what's your interest? Oh, I like music and drumming. Like, I like the rhythm part of it. And we can sit there and talk about a song for 15 minutes of, oh, what if he did the step this way? And, oh, did you see this guy do it? There's so many little things in it. It's just really amazing. And there's a love of it, of competing. But at the end of the day, too, you're just competing against yourself. There's no real head-to-head as far, like, you can't, like, punch your opponent while you're playing or anything, you know, trip them or anything. It's just how good can you do, but you're both doing it right now in the moment. And I love that too.
Are you a good dancer? Like, do you wow them at wedding receptions, or are you just good at this game?
I try not to. I'm more of like your musician style than like a dancing. Cause like really, and if you saw the video too, it's like the most dancing thing I'm doing maybe is like crossing my legs over a little bit. But other than that, it's just like, I'm not tap dancing so much, but just like rhythmically stomping it out, I guess.
And you're leaning on the bar behind you.
Right, absolutely.
So you're not like dancing with your upper body. You're just like moving your feet almost like a football player who goes through a ladder doing quickness exercises. Yeah. You would be really good at that, at those type of footwork quickness exercises.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Do you have special shoes you wear?
I wear like Nike Free Run 2018s. They're really like thin and light. A lot of people who try them on who aren't used to light shoes are like, I don't even feel like I'm wearing anything. But to me, it's like just the right amount of being light, and you can kind of mesh it up, but it's got some support. Everyone's a little different too. The best player in the world, he wears shoes that are like, they have like thick heel, like people call them moon shoes because of how big they are. And most people don't play with like big heels or anything. I mean, not like heels, but you know, like a sport shoe, like a basketball style shoe.
I think you'd be a great tennis player.
I think
tennis.
I dabbed in it, you know.
Tennis is like, it's all about the quick feet, and I watched you do it, man. Your feet are amazing, and the precision, the control, and your ability to do it. I would imagine that some people are naturally talented at it. You know, you've got kind of a thin build that's going to help. You know, you're not going to get some big fat guy like me.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I've got a buddy, and he wouldn't mind me mentioning this either.
He's just got a different build.
He's like the same height as me, but he is just very, very big. And he's beaten me on songs before. The difference is it's usually not the fast songs. The faster songs he struggles a little more on, but the slow songs, his timing is impeccable, and he's beaten me just hanging out when we're playing. And yeah, it's like you'd have to take that into account in tournament then, like, oh, is this person going to be good at this song that's got over 500 steps in a minute and a half, or they're going to go, oh, I'm going to pick this one because I know it really
oh, well. So you pick your own songs?
Well, what they do is called a card draw. So there's, again, 256 charts you can play, and they have like a random generator that will pull them up, and you can set percentages. So like, oh, the hard songs will come up a little more often, yada yada, for different mm-hmm. rounds. They'll do a card draw. It'll give you seven songs, and then each player goes, okay, I'm going to protect this one, and then the other player, I'll protect this one, and then I veto one, and then veto, and you basically get down to having five songs if you do a best of five, or three songs for a best of three, where you get to protect the songs from the set of seven and then strike to the other one. So you don't directly pick, but in a way you kind of do. And if you know all the songs well enough, you just hope to see ones that you're like, oh, I'm good at that. I'm gonna protect that, because then there's no way I'm gonna lose it.
Going back to your comment of some people saying that, is this a sport? Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time discussing what is a sport, what makes a sport a sport. Mm-hmm. My definition, it's got to be physical, and it's got to be, there has to be a conflict, and it has to be for amusement, recreation, or pay, money. Mm-hmm. Because if we have a conflict and we're playing for keeps, then it's war. But if we're doing it just for fun, or to get paid, or to stay fit, or because we like our friends, as long as it's physical and there's some type of conflict, it's a sport. Mm-hmm. And that omits chess. Chess is not a sport to me. It's a game. It's a great game. I love it, but it's not a sport. Mm. And I think what you're doing is absolutely a sport. And there are 226 million esport athletes, kids, right now on the planet. Mm-hmm. Schools are giving scholarships, like we talked about. Right here, we've got the UGC network at Lineup Media. It's a big deal, and that's why I was proud to have you on here today. Not just because you're my former student.
Right.
And you're still in the Metro East. Mm-hmm. And are you working at Liberty?
Yeah, I am, actually. So I'm a program assistant there, getting to basically just help out the teachers and help out students with IEPs. And it's a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying my job.
I'll tell you what. That's an important job, but it's a tough job. And so if you're good at it, good for you. All right. Chad, thanks so much for coming today.
I really
appreciate it. And again, folks, check out his video. It'll be on our Twitter and on our Facebook. And you can see him do DDR. Chad Carey, number one in the world. One of the world-class athletes.
Number one at world records.
Number one at world records. Dance Revolution. Thanks so much for coming by.
Appreciate it.
Well, show number 42 with the greatest variety of all time. We've had a golfer, we've had an e-sport participant.
Wow.
And our last guest tonight is another former student of mine, a current bodybuilder. Welcome to the show, Paul Nicolussi.
Thanks, Dave. It's my pleasure.
And you are training for the 40 and over world championship that's going to be held upcoming here in St. Louis.
Yes, sir. The 40 and up IPE, world championships. It's a big deal. Various classes, bodybuilding, figure, physique. I mean, pretty much the whole gamut of fitness is going to be going. And we're fortunate to have it in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's awesome.
St. Louis and the Midwest are hotbeds for what they call natural drug-free bodybuilding. Where they drug test athletes. It's along maybe something like Waterlines. Before we get on stage, Joe, you do get polygraphed. It's interesting.
Polygraphed?
Yes, sir.
Now, you told me that you competed clean, and I just assumed that testing was 100% urine, blood, that kind of stuff, but they do a polygraph.
That's just to cut down on people who shouldn't be competing, save everybody the hassle. You know, if you fail the polygraph, you're probably,
That's intense.
Yeah. So they try to do as much safeguards as they can. And like me being professional, I get hit with randoms. Like I judge about three or four shows a year. I might get hit with a random at one of them. I more than likely will get one here pretty soon. So they kind of we do the best we can to keep the sport clean on that level.
So how did you get started in bodybuilding?
Oh, bodybuilding period. You know, probably like kind of when you met me, I wasn't a bodybuilder. I was a senior in high school. You know, remember me back then? I liked to diet. I was doing martial arts. You know, we're talking 80s, 90s. I'm from that era. You know, larger than life, big muscular physiques, you know, comic book characters.
Arnold.
Arnold, Stallone. I mean, look at Jean-Claude Van Damme. These guys would take their shirt off and beat up like 30 guys in 5 minutes with these unreal physiques, you know, flexing and looking oiled up the whole time. So all that kind of plays into it. And then, you know, muscle mags were big. We had no internet back then. You know, so, I mean, we looked at these muscle magazines. We tried our workouts. And, you know, you saw me eat some of the ridiculous food I eat while high school kids were eating cheeseburgers. I was eating, like, chicken and rice and, you know, breaking open cans of tuna and stuff like that.
So you've been into this since you were this is like a 23-year journey or so for you.
Oh, probably, let's see. I would say 94, 95-ish, I was real heavy into dieting. So, yeah, we're going on 30. You know, I'll be 43 in March, so
this is a lifestyle for you. I was wondering if the discipline for diet and nutrition is the toughest part of being a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder.
Oh, without question. I mean, I think I have good genetics. They're not great genetics. There's guys who work out, who train all the time, who blow me away genetically. You just look at these guys. They have just amazing bodies. I've had to compete against some of them, and they'll look at those guys in the gym. They'll look at me in the gym like, no way Paul's going to beat them. I mean, look at his muscle doesn't look as good. He's not as big. Going into deep water, though, I think I can do that on a different level. I can get disciplined. You can ask anybody who knows me. Like Dave knows me good enough. I will seclude myself. I will get in my own zone. I will know, you know, no eating out. Just get real in my own space for crunch time, you know, that last 4 or 5 weeks of that, you know, that show time.
How much has COVID influenced and affected your training regimen?
Well, at first, obviously, gyms are closed. I have enough stuff at my house to, you know, to train. Not for a show, but, you know, so I was making do. You know, I've been through worse stuff than COVID. I had disc replacement surgery in 2019. So I just watched my diet, stayed disciplined. I'm not going to lie. It really didn't affect me all that much. I mean, I don't like, you know, working out in a mask. I get the reason why we have to do it, stay open, keep people healthy. So, I mean, I'm still rolling. So
you mentioned early IPE.
Sure.
What does that stand for?
That's just it's our federation.
Okay.
International Professional Elite Natural Athletes. So
is bodybuilding a growing sport?
I would say total bodybuilding, total fitness, yes. Bodybuilding the category, all honesty, no. It is going down as far as numbers goes. Like people who just bodybuild. Now, what they have is a classical physique where guys wear a different kind of a trunk that's popular. They have like the men's physique. They wear the board shorts. Women's bodybuilding almost doesn't exist anymore. They go to physique. They have something called the bikini category and figure. So that women's bodybuilding's about done, I would say.
Now, that's interesting because I just did a story on a girl from Bethalto. Knee surgeries took her out of basketball. But in the training for weightlifting, she really got into it and enjoyed it.
Sure.
Now she's training to be a bodybuilder for a competition in May.
Oh, okay. Off the top of my head, it's in St. Louis. I'd say that's the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Tatona put that on.
Yeah. When in the men's division, how do they break down? Is it you're under 40? Or do they go every 10 years?
Well, we do have... I'll go below 40. I'll jump in the open class, too. It just depends on the show, depends on the year. But being pro, I can jump around. I can go open. I can go 40 and up.
Do they have weight classes, or is it?
Yes, they do have weight classes. Like I said, depends on the size of the show. And just to be honest with you, depends who shows up. They'll cut it that way.
I do some curls for the girls. But just talk about a typical weightlifting session for you.
Okay.
You focus on certain parts of the body.
I change my routines up. You know, it's good to keep your mind, your body fresh, because yeah, I got to stay interested too, because if I'm not interested, you know, I'm not going to get a good workout. So yeah, I do. I kind of leave legs. They get their own autonomy, their own day. Now I've been doing my chest and my arms.
Don't skip leg day. Before.
No, I love leg. That's my best body part. That kind of, you know, I'm behind the eight ball on the upper body sometimes. Those kind of bring me back in the fight. So, but to get back to a point, like right now my split is legs, own day. chest and arms. And then I'll do like, I'll do small shoulders with my back. Mostly be a back day with little shoulder movements like your small shapers. Then I'll have another day where I just do shoulder presses. Do a few, kind of like my miscellaneous day. Kind of like then I'll do a few chest, a little bit of chest, a little bit of back, and a little bit of leg. That's what I'm doing now, like a four-day split. I've done five-day split where I do everything individually. Just not doing that now. Switching it up.
Is it about weight or reps or a little mix of both?
It's about intensity. It's about quality. And first and foremost, it's about your form. You know, if you're doing 100-pound dumbbells with god-awful form, you're not isolating your muscle, you're letting the laws of physics do the lifting, you're not going to get as good as results as someone who's doing a 60s. Good form, perfect form, you know, taking your time. So first and foremost, you worry about form. Then you want quality weight. Depends on where I'm at in my routine. I might go slower, might focus more on the negative depending on the muscle. But you want to get your form down. That is key. And then you will build strength from there.
Because all the kids want to add plates and lift.
I was there. I mean, I remember back when I was in high school, I had a good bench press. I naturally have a good, you know, my chest is one of my better, probably my best part of my upper body. I just grew my chest fast. I could bench 330 pounds, I think, by the time I got to high school. You'd have to check on the wall there, Dave. If it's still up there, I might have some in my weight classes. But everybody would like, what are you benching? You benching four, you know, you benching five, some of the really big guys in the gym, but... Being older, being 43 soon, I don't max out. I do a lot of dumbbells. I go to make the good gains, not just worried about the one rep max.
Has suffered many injuries lifting?
Lifting, no. I have a background in martial arts where I've picked up a few. All things considered, like I told you about that disc replacement, that's really my only major one. The stuff I've done in my, you know, I did my first martial arts competition when I was 15. So... all the years of stuff, I'm fine. I'm blessed. I haven't really been hurt that bad.
Wait till you get to the under 60 group. And things will start coming.
Well, we do have over 50, so I plan on being around then.
I qualify. How about you?
I'm at 59, so I'm waiting for the 60.
What's your best body part, Greg? Let's not talk about that. So you said, I want to get into mixed martial arts later, but first I want to ask you, have you ever done any strength competitions? Not bodybuilding, but
Yes, I have. Kings Point and Belleville did a bencher back when I was benching a lot. It's with the straight bar. I do all dumbbells now for just to save the rotator cuffs. They would bench your body weight as much as you can, and I did that. You know, it was pretty fun. You know, at the time, God, we're talking 1998, I might have weighed 185 pounds. I weighed about 190 probably, but I dieted down to 185 day of. I did it for like 35 reps. I got in the top five in that contest. So, But no, I just never figured with my frame, I'm not built like a power lifter. I don't have the joints. I kind of always knew my body couldn't sustain that.
What do you weigh now?
A little too much since the holidays. Probably about, if I jumped on a scale now, I'd be about 220.
Has it been pretty steady though for you?
This year, I haven't competed since 2018. I figured I'd take time off. He'll have a good off season. I'm not doing quite as much cardio, and I'm eating more than I have ever in my life. So I've been walking around about 215, 210. That's the heaviest I've ever walked around in my life. So we'll see what it looks like on stage. We'll see if it was more quality or more junk. We're going to know. If that cuts like 30 pounds, I'll be happy. I'm like, all right, that's not too bad. 185 pounds on stage, that's big. If it gets like 35 or 40 pounds, I did it wrong.
What's your go-to meal when you're cutting weight? Like, what's the thing that you're eating to stay healthy, to not, you know, because you have to maintain your strength. You can't just
absolutely.
You can't just fast.
No, not at all. You got to keep that protein up. When I get into prep, I'll play around with some I try to shock my body with carb cycles. I'll do some intermittent fasting, but I eat at least four meals a day with a lot of protein, sometimes five.
Man, I got a salmon and spinach thing that I make with olive oil. It's killer.
I'll have you cook it for me sometime.
I'll
that
do
sounds
it.
It's good.
I'll do it for sure.
Salmon's a staple of my diet. That is, I can make, I'll just give you just an example of protein sources I use. I use salmon. I use chicken. I use leaner beef, and I use leaner turkey. Just about every day I get one of those. I get all four of those, I'm sorry. Then I'll substitute other things out, like you know, deer burgers whenever get a sale on like some buffalo, I'll get some of that, or just spice up the meat, you know, some cod, just to change things up a little.
What was your highest ranking? Like you said that you are a professional,
and you're
a part of this association. What was your highest world, national, junior ranking?
You talking about as an amateur or as a pro? Because either. Now they really don't have rankings like that. You go to a show, you either win or you don't. You're top three, top five. You know, people have opinions on who the best is, but there's no, you know, they really don't know he's the best in the world, because he might be the best in the world that year. Then he takes a year or two off, and then someone else grabbed the world titles. So,
is there just in these competitions?
You talking about my best placing in a pro show?
Sure.
I got second in my weight class one time, and I want to get that first place. I'm going to tell you, because I've won first in a lot of amateur shows before I turned pro, and won the overall shows to get where I'm at as a pro. But boy, when you go to that pro class, it is really hard to get that first place. Now I'm chasing that now. I really want it.
That's what I was going to ask. Right. Is there different? You have an overall winner, but do they have different subsets? Legs, chest, arms?
No. So like
it's just one overall winner.
Overall winner, yeah. Like this show, I'm thinking this show is going to be big enough, so they're going to have two weight classes. Like let's say I win my weight class, I would assume I'd be. They'll probably go light heavy, so I'd assume I'd be in the lighter weights. So I would go against the heavy hypothetically if I won, and then we'd be the overall. So that's what I think is going to happen. Most shows just depends on the size. You know, you get there's usually one or two classes.
Did you play any other sports growing up, or has it always been just
been to martial arts? You know, I played sports when I was younger, high school level. It was stuck to the martial arts.
Did the weightlifting always come? I mean, is it something you always enjoyed being in the weight room?
Yeah, and like I said, team sports, they're really good. I don't know if I had a different kind of mindset. I like the individual sports. I like the martial arts, you know, the wrestling, the weightlifting, then like the bodybuilding. I don't have to work with anybody, you know. The only person who's got to believe in you is you. So I believe in myself. I can do it. I can diet. I can train. I can improve my body every off season by looking at pictures. That's just me. I don't know if I'm wired different. It just team sports weren't my thing.
Any part of your training that you just dread doing?
Oh, let me think. I do a lot of stretching to stay injury free. I'm not going to lie. Just sitting down and doing about 15 minutes of yoga a day like I do is what I don't look forward to, but I do it because I don't want to get hurt.
It's important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Stretching's very important. I stretch 15 minutes a day. I don't care if I work a long shift, I get out of the gym, I'm tired, I'll go home and watch the news or watch a podcast, and I'll stretch. I get my 15 minutes of yoga in.
Are you following a program? Are you getting on YouTube and following any yoga instructor, or are you just doing the moves that you know how to do, the poses?
I know enough of the moves, but there's a couple good instructors on there.
Adrian, that's who I do.
she's not bad.
She's awesome. 30-day yoga challenge, Shaq. You gotta check it out, man.
My wife wanted me to do the yoga for old guys, and I need to do some stretching.
It helps, man.
And not the sound. You know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. We could do multiple podcasts with my wrestling knowledge. It's useless. But I do DDP yoga. It's for athletes. It's a workout. I'll do that some days. You know,
DDP?
Diamond Dallas Page. Oh, you don't know what Diamond Dallas Page is, Dave?
I don't know.
Okay, he's not a wrestling guy. All right,
There's a major wrestling podcast that's done out of these studios.
I will hopefully I get an invite.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. It's something that I don't understand, but
professional
anyway.
Wrestling?
No, I don't get it. Are you doing any bodybuilding coaching?
Yes, I do. I have a really good athlete now, Peyton. He's probably going to be doing the Gateway in it's going to be in September, early October this year, the Gateway Natural Classic. So,
you enjoying coaching or is it frustrating? A little bit of both.
It's like anything else, it depends on the person. I do like to coach. It's good passing that knowledge on, seeing people get results. As far as bodybuilding goes, even if they really don't listen a whole lot, it really doesn't. I mean, I'm not going to tell someone to get on stage. I'm really truthful with people about, hey, maybe you shouldn't compete. You're not ready.
Am I ready?
Now?
You looked at me just then. Like, I made you look.
Ready for what?
Ready for what? Yeah. I mean, you're ready for like a weight loss challenge.
That was rude.
I think his time's about up.
I thought he was going to say a hot dog eating competition. I could probably do that.
No, too. I mean, I don't mean like you need to lose weight, but we can get you.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
We can get you peeled, man. About 5% walking around the pool.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Like Brad Pitt and Fight Club abs is what I'm talking about.
I should do that. What don't people understand about bodybuilding?
Oh, how complex it is. The science of it, the discipline of it. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Like, obviously, doing martial arts and stuff, those are really combative. They're physical. A lot harder physically than bodybuilding. Boy, that mental discipline of the deep water of completely, you know, just watching that diet, watching your sodium to the T, to the carbs, the protein, and making sure you peak and... You know, you really cut out social events because you're useless at them sometimes, like late in the game. You got to find that middle ground where you can still have a life. But, you know, you're not the guy you want to be with at a nightclub when you're dieting for a show or a wedding or, you know.
No alcohol?
Oh, no. No.
Not ever?
I'm out.
Or just, oh, you're talking about no, not ever? No, you know me good enough. I'll have a drink. Like, if I'm not dieting for a show, within moderation, I'll go out and have some fun with my friends and have some drinks. But I'm not going to touch any from February till June.
Wow.
Right.
Good for you. No red meat.
No, I'll do lean red meat probably at least 4 times a week when I'm in prep. Maybe later in prep, I'll cut it down a little bit. We'll see how I'm looking.
Okay, so let's switch over to the MMA because I know that's a big deal for you too. You're not competing in MMA. You're not training for MMA.
Well, I train at Metro East Krav Maga in Collinsville. It's a little bit of MMA is just, you know, a bunch of martial arts put together. It's a little bit of everything mixed in with it. Am I going to do a competition at it? And neck surgery, am I going to do any martial arts competition again? Maybe down the road. You never say never. You know, I did some when I was 40, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done with it. You know, I said I was done with those in my 30s, but I'm not going to say I'm never going to do one again. It's not looking likely now. I do love training Krav Maga with Tom Whitaker. He's really good down there. He's got a good kids program. It's a mix of like special forces training the Israelis made up. I mean, there's knife defense, gun defense. He's a professional kickboxer. We do a lot of hands, a lot of feet, a lot of contact. It's nice. You work out sometimes and, you know, some of the adult classes, you'll get your bell rung, you know?
Yeah.
just full disclosure. I mean, you choose it though. We're all safe. Like if a guy wants more contact, you'll get it. If someone's just, you know, there to for that. You don't do it. You're just smart. You're a smart training partner.
Yeah, I don't want to get my bell rung.
No. But martial arts is good for anybody. Individual discipline, you know. I'm not saying everybody's got to try out for the UFC or Glory Kickboxing anytime soon. But, I mean, I recommend parents put their kids in martial arts at any age. You know, there's programs for kids of all ages. And even sticking with an adult, you get off work, you know, you just kind of let go. You get those good feelings going throughout class when class is over, and you form friendships and bonds with the people you train with. It's like playing a team sport in some ways, but not really. It's kind of all on you. But it's good, though.
Any inspirations in that? Like, who were the guys you looked up to?
Oh, God,
Chuck
growing
Liddell.
Oh, UFC-wise? Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember watching the first one. At the time, I was taking taekwondo, and we didn't know anything about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We saw Hoyce Gracie just smoke people. And I'll tell you what, I met him. I think I even showed you that picture in real time in 1996 when I was a senior and meeting Hoyce Gracie in 1996. To me, and even now, I mean, that was cooler than meeting Michael Jordan. He's a guy changed martial arts. Brazilian jiu-jitsu changed how everybody views things.
That whole sport.
Right. It took off.
It's just,
yeah.
I watched a documentary last night, kind of prepping for this a little bit what's his name? Tito.
Yeah, Tito Ortiz.
Tito and Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell.
And that whole rivalry, that whole sport really was really popularized by that rivalry.
Well, yeah, that caught fire. The sport had been around for a while, really wasn't popular yet. It was kind of underground. You'd ask someone in 2005 who Chuck Liddell was, probably nobody could pick him out of a lineup. They'd be like, he just, you know, looks like a biker, but he's a mainstream athlete, as famous as anybody. I mean, that's where it went, but it took a while. Like, because it first came out in 1993, and now look at it.
So how can you train for your mixed martial arts and your bodybuilding at the same time?
Well, you got to find that sweet spot. Like, I'm going into prep. I'm going to be focusing on that. So my classes, there. You know, obviously when I'm depleted, I'm going to watch what I do in class. I won't have the energy, so I won't do as much contact or hard drilling.
Is that still where you're doing your bodybuilding training too? Same gym?
No, I don't. That Metro East Krav Maga, it's in Collinsville.
Right. So where are you training for the bodybuilding?
Well, I work at the Club Fitness by my house in Collinsville, and I go to the House of Pain in St. Louis. I go there on a weekend. It's obviously a drive. They have one in Chesterfield. Great gym. They have one in Dorset. You know, same owner, Joe Corbett, great guy, professional bodybuilder. He's great financial mind. He's just a really good guy. He was, you know, on the news recently with all the COVID lockdowns. But, I mean, his gym's open. He's a great guy. You should join that. It's a great gym for anybody who wants to get into fitness.
Hmm.
So yeah. You got to support those small business. Those small gyms are a dying breed. He opened that himself. It's not a corporate gym. I mean,
I feel like a lot of the gyms that are opening now, they're opening more for like CrossFit, and they're opening more for like to help people lose weight. They're not opening for mixed martial arts, sure, or bodybuilding, no. So to speak.
You kind of stay in your lane, like with that, like those Planet Fitnesses and the Club Fitnesses. I mean, they're just big. I don't want to equate them to fast food places, but they're franchised, they're chained, they're every town, all over. You know.
Yeah, it's different than right. The kind of personalized treatment that you're talking about.
Well, right. When it's hard to compete against that. You're like some guy, you know, you may be doing well financially, but yeah, I mean, they got deep pockets.
It's like anything, you know, if right. you're going to compete with it on a national level with those types of things. All right. Well, I think I want to go to that national competition in St. Louis. I want to come check that out and watch you compete. I think that would be a cool thing.
Everybody should check it out who's into fitness. Maybe you want to compete. Maybe you just want to.
I'm not going to compete.
I don't see why one day you couldn't. You got an athletic guy, good background, fast twitch muscles.
Yeah.
Start building, you know, why not?
How about this?
The worst thing that could happen to you is you get.
Well, they're gonna call me fatty, and they're gonna laugh at me. That's what's gonna happen.
I won't let you get on stage unless you're prime and ready.
Can I just wear my Speedo and just walk around the crowd?
If you want to, I mean, why not? As long as you got a mask on, you know, you got to protect people from COVID.
Paul Nicoluzzi, I'm so glad I got to catch up with you today, man. It's been a long time. How long has it been?
Oh, we talk in person probably about a year or so.
Now I'm going to tell that story because I had a young man in class who was struggling academically. He was pretty unmotivated, but I knew the kid was into lifting and bodybuilding in particular. And I reached out to Paul Nicoluzzi and I said, hey, can you help me motivate this kid? And without hesitation, you spent time with that young man. Right. You spent your time, reached out to this kid, and you made a difference in his life. And you didn't have to do that. And that speaks volumes about kind of person you are. I won't forget that. And I know that young man won't forget that. Won't forget that either.
You know what? So he's doing really good right now. He's in the service.
Say his name.
Jackson Matthews.
There you go.
He is doing so good. I'm so proud of that kid. You know, he's to have someone like that in our armed services just makes me feel better. Doing well. I talk to him and his family when I can, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's overseas and he's all right. He's a good kid. I say he's built like a tank, you know. He's ready to roll.
It's a sport, man. You can see that he's into it. Anything else we got to look out for from you coming up in the future?
Oh, hopefully, after that show, I might do Open Worlds in October.
We're going to keep up with you.
Yeah, we'll see how I place. You know, I got to qualify for Open Worlds. We'll see how I do. See how I'm looking. See how I'm feeling. Who knows? I might, you know, place well in two world championships in 2021. That would be great. That's the goal.
That'd be the year.
Yes, sir.
All right. From the Blow It Out on Main Studio, big thanks to show guests Avery Irwin, Chad Carey, and Paul Nicoluzzi. All guests receive a free drink at the O-Bar Cafe. Thanks to partners Next Level Performance Institute, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management, for our producers Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and my co-host today,
Greg Shashak.
Thanks so much for coming today, Greg. I really appreciate your time. I'm Dave Leif. Thanks for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.